All right, well, good evening. It's great to be here. I'd like to start just by thanking all of you for the support that I've been given while I've been studying at Bear Valley. All the cards, prayers, encouragement, and money that I've been given has really helped me make the adjustment to living in Denver. We've just finished our third quarter of the year, and I've got one more before I'm out for the summer. If you don't know, Bear Valley is only a two-year program, but with enough credit hours to grant a full bachelor's degree. So it's a very, very intense field of study. It's very fast-paced. I'll be flying back tonight, so I don't have a ton of time to talk after I'm done. I got to get out the door pretty fast and get on a flight. We're going to be having a short course this next week, which we'll have one class for the whole week, all day long, and then I'll start five more classes until May. That's a little bit about me and what I've been doing, but now I want to know something about you. How many of you have planted a garden of flowers before? You can raise your hand, it's okay. Now, I don't know a lot about flowers, but whether or not you've planted flowers, you probably know that they have to have water to grow. Without water, flowers quickly wilt, they become brittle, and they die. Water is essential for a strong, healthy flower. But the way a water gets that flower isn't always easy. If you've planted flowers, then hopefully you water them regularly. But the only way a wildflower gets water is by going through a storm. We had a pretty good rainstorm last night, and it was great for sleeping, and the timing couldn't have been any better with us losing an hour. But for flowers, storms are hard to endure. They come with high winds, extreme temperatures, debris, flooding, you get the idea. And even though it's hard for a flower to survive a storm, it comes out better for having done so in the long run. I bought these flowers a couple days ago from a very, very reputable florist. And I don't know a lot about taking care of flowers, especially ones that aren't in the ground. But I did my best to take care of these. I gave them sunlight and the water that they would get if they were to go through a storm. They don't look quite as good as when I bought them, but they've kept most of their color and stayed pretty strong for how long I've had them. Now, on the other hand, I have this flower. I don't know if you can see it, but it's not holding up as good, and it's because I haven't given it any water since I bought it. When I gave this sermon at school in Denver, I left the bad flower, outside on the balcony, but we got a few feet of snow in the time it was out there, and I wasn't sure if it could get water from the snow that was melting, so I took it inside and microwaved it for a while just to make sure that there was no chance that this thing had any water in it. Like I said, I don't know much about flowers, but I do know that the ones that I gave water to look a lot better than this one. Flowers don't want storms. They're difficult, they're scary, and they're uncomfortable. But in the long run, they get stronger. We're a lot like flowers in that we don't want to face storms. We want to be safe and for everything to be easy. But that's not how life works. We all go through storms at some point. Everyone in this room has and will go through difficulties in life. God is clear that we will face issues. Being a Christian doesn't save you from the downs of life. God knows what you're going through, and He knows that you will be made better because of it. A gardener expects his flowers to go through storms as part of the growing process to make them strong, and so does God. Our faith is made stronger when we go through the storms of life. And that's what we'll be looking at in this lesson. Using this illustration with the flowers, we'll look at how storms affect us and how they make us stronger. This is going to be a very topical lesson, and we'll jump around all over the place. But to start, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, where we'll be looking at verses 24 through 27. You know the story. Jesus is talking about the man who builds his house on the sand versus the rock. Verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We're all familiar with this story, and it seems pretty easy to understand the illustration that Jesus is giving. Sand isn't sturdy, but the rock is. Sand is good, sand is bad, rock is good. But that's not actually completely true. When a building is being built, before they even lay the foundation, sand is often used to level out the area the foundation will be laid in. Sand is also used in concrete and in asphalt. Sand itself isn't necessarily unsteady. The problem with sand, and when it becomes untrustworthy, is when it gets wet. And in his illustration, Jesus talks about the rain falling and the floods coming. The sand isn't a problem when the skies are clear and life is easy. It's when the storms come that a problem develops. Storms do make flowers stronger, but they have to have the foundation to actually make it through the storm first. I'm not sure if a flower can even survive in sand, but for the sake of illustration, let's say that it can. As soon as a storm comes, that flower is going to be washed away. It'll never have the chance to grow and improve before the storm takes it. But have you ever had one of those weeds grow in the cracks in your driveway? They're planted in or on the rock, and they're impossible to get rid of. You can have a garden full of that expensive dirt that you get from Lowe's that you water every day, and that gets the right amount of sunlight, and it still seems like those weeds in your driveway will grow better. A flower gets stronger from a storm, but it has to have the right foundation to even survive long enough for that to happen. The same is true for us. Psalms 9:9 through 10 says, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." God is a stronghold. He is our firm foundation. If we build our faith upon him, we can survive the storm. The world puts its faith in anything and everything but God. And as a result, you'll hear them ask Christians how they can act the way they do when facing difficult circumstances. The things of the world, the things that people build their entire lives on, are like sand. They're okay until it starts to rain, until the storms come, and then suddenly everything you've put your trust in is gone. Psalm 34, verses 17 through 18 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." If you want to make it through the storm, you have to call upon the Lord. Where the world is washed away, God remains, and he will deliver you. Secondly, storms deepen and strengthen our roots. If a flower can survive a storm, then it will be made stronger. A process called fig metamorphogenesis can be activated within plants as a reaction to an external stimulus, such as rain or wind. This reaction causes a reaction within the plant in response to what it experienced. This can cause a plant to strengthen and expand its roots in the wake of a bad storm. Isn't this what we should do as Christians when we are faced with a bad storm? Our faith should grow and be made stronger. The first place my mind goes when I think of a biblical character going through a storm is Job. He went through something we can barely even imagine happening to us. In Job 42, Job recounts how he grew closer to God after having experienced such a storm. Verses 2 through 5, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. I had heard you, but now I see you." Job has a much deeper faith, in relationship with God than he ever did before. Job could have cursed God. He could have grown further from him. He could have had a lot of reactions to going through what he did. But he drew closer to God instead. When a storm comes, you either move towards God or away from him. Peter echoes this sentiment in John 6, verse 68, when he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." This is in response to Jesus asking the 12 if they would turn away from him like the others did. That sentiment remains true today. If not God, then who? Turn to God when you go through difficulties. Draw closer to him and allow your faith to be deepened and expanded. Lastly, storms allow us to share the word and to help others. A man named Scott Busby and his wife started as students at Bear Valley last August at the same time as me. Scott had retired as a truck driver, and him and his wife decided that they wanted to go into ministry. Scott sat next to me in class a lot of the time, and he was always very nice. He made a lot of jokes, and whenever I had to preach or speak in class, he would always tell me how good of a job I did, even when I didn't. Scott had a very unexpected heart attack one night in November and passed away 2 weeks after. The whole school was shocked, and it was a rough few weeks in class. A student passing while in school is something that hasn't happened in Bear Valley's recent history, and having an empty seat in class was a wake-up call and a really rough introduction to ministry. Scott's wife, LaVonda, also lost her daughter very shortly after losing Scott, and it was hard to imagine what she was going through, having moved across the country to go to school and then losing her husband and daughter in a matter of weeks. That was a storm, if I've ever seen one, and no one knows except for her how hard that was to endure. However, while Scott's passing was a shock and hard to deal with for everyone at school, the way all of the students and staff supported LaVonda and each other was awesome to see. The instructors told us that going through something so tragic and jarring right after starting school would lead to a class of ministers and Christians better equipped to deal with similar tragedies. We all now know what it's like to lose someone we are close with unexpectedly, and what Christian love really looks like when the storms come. Scott's wife, LaVonda, was and is a great source of encouragement, as her faith and positive attitude never wavered throughout the whole ordeal. Whenever I see her at church now, she is always comforting and checking on others, and is a source of encouragement and example of faith, even after going through a storm that most of us can't ever imagine. I'll give one more example that might hit a little closer to home of how a storm can be turned around and used for good. On April 19th, 1995, a bomb in the truck of Timothy McVeigh was detonated, which destroyed the entire north side of the Alfred P. Murrah building in downtown OKC. I wasn't alive when this happened, but my grandpa was an Oklahoma City police officer for over 20 years, and he was on duty that day. Over Christmas break, he told me the story of climbing the stairs on the south side of the building and having no clue the entire northern half was gone, until he exited the stairway several floors up and saw Oklahoma City instead of the northern wall. He also told me stories about all the recovery efforts that went on for days and weeks following the bombing. Many first responders, government organizations, and law enforcement worked day and night in the weeks after to identify those responsible and to rescue survivors. The OKC bombing was something that our nation had never experienced anything similar to. And yet, just a few years later, on September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Centers were attacked in New York. In the days following the September 11th attacks, Oklahoma City sent many of the first responders my grandpa worked with, as well as survivors and family members of the victims of the OKC bombing, to New York to help with recovery efforts, as well as to comfort those who lost loved ones. The tragedy that Oklahoma City faced led to them being prepared to assist when a similar tragedy happened just a few years later in New York. The truth is, terrible things happen in this life. There are always storms on the horizon, but if we get through them, we can learn and grow from them so that we can help others. Those that have been through the tragedy in OKC were no doubt a comfort to those who went through the tragedy in New York. But there is an even better comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God comforts us in our afflictions. God is there during the storm. We can comfort others in the same way we are comforted by God. Isn't that great news? No matter who you are, what your problems are, or what you're going through, God will comfort you. And you can use that comfort to help others later. To tie it back in with my flower illustration, a flower that survives a storm becomes a source of life for others. Flowers that grow are gathered from by pollinators. They feed animals, bear fruit, they're able to spread seeds, and so on. If you stay faithful and survive the storm, then you can help others, and you can spread the gospel too. What does this mean for you, and what should you do? I use the term storm on purpose because it's very vague and generic. Storms look different for everyone. For some of you, it's a scary diagnosis. And for others, it's financial difficulties. It could be a sin problem, relationship issues, the loss of a loved one, or any other number of things. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Build your life and your faith on God, because unlike sand, he stays solid when the rain comes. Turn towards God during and after the storm, and allow the roots of your faith to be deepened. And finally, when you face a storm, use it to glorify God. Use it to comfort others, and use it to spread the seed. I want to challenge you, through whatever storm you're going through, to trust God and to lean on him. A flower doesn't enjoy a storm, but it blooms even brighter after one. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Some lessons don't lend themselves to an invitation, and yet we offer one anyway. This lesson, in my opinion, is quite the opposite. Usually when the invitation is offered is when you start to gather up your things and think about where you'll be going to lunch or dinner after services. Invitations have become almost more of a formality in church, especially on Sunday nights. I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, and I'm aware of that. The invitation is usually something we offer for those who want to be baptized. And maybe we'll mention something about prayers at the end. And not many of the people sitting in the Sunday night service need to be baptized. But this lesson is something that I truly believe is personally applicable to everyone. Whether you're sitting here tonight, whether you're watching online, or whether it's anyone you know out in the world. I know I'm just a kid in preaching school, and that asking for help isn't something that anyone likes to do. But everyone here has and is going through a storm of some kind. And we'd love to know how we can help. I know I said I've got a flight to catch, but I can spare a few minutes if you need help tonight. If you are going through the storm and need a little extra help getting through it, if you want to be made right with God this evening, if you need the prayers and encouragement of your brothers and sisters and want help to be made stronger through the storm, come now as we stand and as we sing.